أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته، ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We have been discussing around this hadith of our Prophet that whoever exercises patience and ikhlas and sincerity for 40 mornings, fountains of wisdom burst from his qalb and soul and flow over his tongue. And we already discussed the significance of 40 in Islam, and those approximately 24 points that Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahrul Uloom had mentioned around the significance of 40 in our teachings. Also, we discussed the levels of Iman, all the 10 levels, and we discussed in our conversation the stages that a person crosses. And finally, very recently, we were talking about the practical tips from himself, Ayatullah Ulmah Sayyid Mahdi At-Tabatabai Bahrul Uloom, one of the greatest purified, kamil, perfect scholars in our glorious history. 25 practical tips from some of those people who have already reached the destination, and hence they have the right to talk about the practical tips. Our Urafa have mentioned that suluk ilallah, how we call it, the person who is treading the path towards of purification towards Allah, is called salik. So this salik person who is traveling the spiritual travel towards closeness of Allah through the purity of his soul has 8 steps, 8 things necessary for his travel, just like any other travel of our body. When we make a trip, we have an origin for every trip, and we have a destination which has to be decided for a successful trip, and we have a distance, masafa, the distance which has to be tread, and we have a masir, that means the path which has to be followed, so you don't get derailed. And we have a zad, Zad means things necessary for your survival during the trip. Just like we carry our food, we carry our carry-ons with the necessary items that we may require. Isn't that right? Toothpaste, within the legal limits of today's travel. Isn't that right? 3-1-1, how they say it. And shampoos, anything and everything that you need during your travel. This is the Zad. This is the necessary things required during your travel. And sixth of all, we require a rahila, which means the vehicle, the means of traveling, be it an aeroplane or a train, a car, an animal, whatever, or on foot. For those who have none of those. But for spiritual travel, there is always a rahila, a vehicle of transportation. Seventh of all, we need a rafiq al-safar, a murafiq, somebody who is a companion. Islam is a religion that emphasizes on these things. We should try our best not to go alone. And when we are on a trip, even if we are just three of us, hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, إِذَا خَرَجَ سَلَاسَةٌ فَلْيُؤَمِّرُوا أَحَدَهُمْ. If three go out, one of them should be made an imam, an amir of the trip by them. In other words, so you three, any three of you go out for a trip, make one of you as your amir and leader and imam, so the rest are going under his leadership. This is the eighth point, which is the leader of the travel, and Rafiq are the companions. So these are the eight things: the origin, the destiny, the distance, the path, the necessary things required for survival during the trip, which is called Zad in Arabic. The Rahila means the vehicle of travel, the means of transportation. Seventh of all, a companion, Rafiq, and eighth of all, the guide and the imam, the leader of the trip, who has to make decisions. So these are the eight things which are logically required for every trip, whether a bodily trip or a spiritual one. Spiritual trips are more importantly in need of these eight things as compared to the physical trips of ours. What the most is going to happen if we, let's suppose, we don't fix our, you know, one of those things, we don't have a Zad, we don't have a toothpaste in our travel, so what? We can always buy it. Isn't that right? Nothing hard is going to happen, as much hard in this world. We may face some of the hardships, it's understandable, but not as much, excuse me, as much as we would face in the spiritual travels. So we are, Ya ayyuhal insanu innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan. So in the light of this formulaqi, in the light of this verse, we understand that we are enduring a travel. We, the humans, are in the process of traveling towards Allah. We are doing our efforts and we are facing our pains and turmoils during this trip towards Allah, and finally at the end of the day we are all going to meet Him. فَمُلَاقِيهِ. So the human is going to meet Allah. There will be a liqa, a meeting with Allah at the end. So there is a travel going on. The end is also fixed by Allah. So tonight we are going to talk about those eight points, inshallah. Let's see how many we can discuss tonight, then we will continue. First of all is the origin of the safarun ma'nawi, metaphysical travel of the soul towards Allah, is obviously, our scholars say that, well, we all come from Allah, there's no question about that. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are certainly for Allah, and towards Him are we returning back. Everyone and everything came from Him, being the Creator. So everything returns back to Him, So in Islam, our origin and destination is exactly the same, always. But in terms of the spirituality, our origin is jahl and naqs, our scholars say. That's the origin of our travel. We start from a blank slate. Because Allah says, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah brought you out from the wombs of your mothers, from the butoon of your mothers, while you didn't know nothing. So we were totally jahil and blank slate, ignorant at the time of our birth. Unlike the ma'sumeen alayhim salatu wasalam, the anbiya and the a'imma alayhim salatu wasalam, and the awsiya'ullah, awsiya of the anbiya, the deputies of the prophets, they all come with knowledge. Look at what Allah says, talking about Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, when the Jews came and objected on Prophet, on Hazrat Maryam, Virgin Mary salamu alayha, that makana abuki imra'a saw'in wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. Isn't it right? Your father, your dad wasn't a bad guy. Neither your ma kana ummuki baghiya, nor your mom was a prostitute. So that means they are doubting their chastity of Virgin Mary and objecting on her bringing a child without getting married to anybody. So fa asharat ilayhi, remember she was fasting, siyamus samt, which is haram in the Shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In our Shariat, in the Shariat of Rasulullah, we cannot do the siyamus samt, fasting of the silence. That's not permissible in Prophet's Sharia, but it was allowed in that Sharia. So she was fasting. So ayatuki an la tukallimi la tukallimi nasa salasa layalin sawiyya. So she was fasting. So she couldn't talk, obviously. So fa'asharat ilayhi, she indicated towards him, that means her baby, and the baby, Prophet Isa, started to speak. That's the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said in his talk that, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. He said, I am servant of Allah, slave of Allah, آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ. He gave me the book, وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. He gave me the book. That's a past tense. He gave me the book. Book is already there. The nur of the book of Injeel is already in the ruh, in the qalb, in the soul of Prophet Isa. He enjoys the nur of the Injeel. وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. He made me a prophet. وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَزَكَاةِ مَا تُمْتُ حَيِّ. So basically, we believe according to the Quranic teachings that every prophet, and also according to Islam, our ilm al-kalam, we believe that all the prophets of God are born in the light of the Quranic teachings, and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We believe they are all born with the knowledge and the ismat and infallibility. So for us, for them, it's different. For us who are غير ma'sumeen, non-infallible people, we the fallible humans, we are all born with jahl and ignorance. We know nothing. And this is not true for the animals. Because animals know what they need for their survival. Look at the fish when it's born. Look at a tiger's baby when it's born. Look at a snake's baby when it's born. They know what to eat and what not to eat. Isn't that right? So you don't, nobody needs to teach them. Nobody needs to teach a fish how to swim. It's something which is part of the wahyun takmini of Allah, ilhamun takmini from Allah's inbuilt divine teachings to those creatures. So they know several things, unlike a human baby, which is much more ignorant as compared to the babies of so many animals. So our origin is jahl, that we need to confess and realize. If we confess, then we will move forward to learn. And our muntaha means the destination, where we are all heading towards. that fixed destination. And that fixed destination, obviously, like I already said, everything comes from Allah and returns back to Allah. That's true. But in the knowledge of spirituality, our scholars say the destination is the Kamalun Haqiqi, which obviously we seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the He's the real destination. The perfect Kamal, the real perfection of spirituality, which is Kamalun Mutlaq, is Allah. He's the absolute perfection, and reaching as close as possible to the absolute perfection in Kamalun Mutlaq will earn us the highest level of spiritual attributes. So in Surah Al-Najm is a surah which is revealed in the fadilat, in the sha'an, in the madh of Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
This is this is about the praise of the Prophet. Surah Al-Najm is unique, and obviously every surah has its own uniqueness, but Surah Al-Najm belongs to the madh and praise of Rasulullah. In this surah, verse 42, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, mentioning the ila rabbikal muntaha, mentioning the destination which is towards your Lord, is the basically the end, the real where everything ends. That's where the end of the things are. And so basically Kamalun Mutlaq is our destination. We achieve through obviously the ibadat. I had already mentioned in one of my speeches, for those of you who remember, that we have ma khalaqtul jinna wal insa illa liya'budun. So purpose of creation is ibadat. In the light of this verse, I didn't create the jinn and the humans except to worship me. Ibadat, worshipping, a purpose of creation clearly understood. Then we have Surah At-Talaq, verse 11 and 12, in which we understand in the light of those verses that the purpose of khilqat and creation is to learn about the ilm and qudrat of Allah, knowledge and the power of Allah. Another purpose of creation that we learn in the light of Surah At-Talaq. Then we have Kuntu Kanzan Makhfiya, is in the right, Hadith and Qudsi, I was a hidden treasure. فَخَلَقْتُ فَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ أُعْرَفَ, I love to be recognized. فَخَلَقْتُ الْخَلْقَ لِكَيْ أُعْرَفْ, so I created a specific creation so that I could be recognized. So ma'rifat, an in-depth recognition, is another purpose of creation. And finally, if you remember, I had mentioned that the final another goal which is mentioned in Surah Ibrahim, verse number 1 after Bismillah, Alif Lam Ra, Kitabun Anzalnahu Ilayka Litukhrij An-Nasa Min Adh-Dhulumati Ila An-Nur. So us becoming Nurani, book that we have revealed on you, we revealed on you to take the people out from darknesses to the Nur. And that's what my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafadahullah had said, that is actually the final goal. There's nothing beyond that goal. Some of the ahdaf and goals Islam teaches are bida'i, initial level goals. Some are medium level goals of khilqat and creation, and some are final goals. There's nothing beyond that. Ibadah is a basic level goal, initial goal of khilqat. And then learning and the ma'rifat, about in-depth recognition of Allah, is a medium level goal. And likewise, ilm and qudrat of Allah. And then the final goal, which there's nothing beyond that, there's no other thing remaining if you achieve that, is becoming nurani and illuminous with the divine light and nur. So once we become nurani, that's where we have reached our final destination. That's in Surah Ibrahim, verse 1. So this is the final goal. So now becoming Nurani is obviously going to happen when we reach the Kamalun Mutlaq, absolute Kamal. That means all the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as much as we can, we strive, we work hard to become Madhar And that's how Madhar and reflection of his Sifat, Sifatul Jalali wal Jamal, attributes of majesty and beauty. And that's how we get closer and reflect and do and work as Allah does and works. Everything of universe is conducted by Allah based on one or several of his attributes. So he's providing food, he's providing sustenance, he's providing his rahmat, he's providing his forgiveness, he's providing his wrath, he's providing his punishments, he's providing his, providing his generosity, and so forth. Huge list of 1,000 names or 1,001 according to some other counts mentioned in Joshua al-Kabir, 1,001 names of Allah. He's doing various tasks and jobs every day. Kulla yawmin huwa fi shan. Isn't it right? Allah is giving izzat to some, giving zillat to some others. Allah yuhliku mulukan wa yastakhlifu akharin. Allah devastates the kings and brings others in their place. Throughout the history, there were rulers and rulers and rulers, and they were killed by Allah and punished, and neither the sky wept over them nor the earth cried over their destiny. Isn't it right? Because they never cared about Allah. Those people never cared about Allah. So all those things, constantly, every moment and fraction of the second, Allah is doing his tasks and jobs. Sometimes we don't even realize. So, and what we realize is also so less. So basically we become madhar and we reflect. So that's how the imams used to do. So that's why they reflected, and every action of theirs was based on those sifat of Allah, because they reflected in the highest level. And so they knew what to say, what not to say, how to say, whom to talk, whom not to talk to, and what to do and what not to do and how much to do. So this shows their absolute wisdom. So this is when, and so we reach that kamal al mutlaq, alima Salman al ilm al awwal wal ilm al akhir. Salman knew the first knowledge and the end knowledge. Isn't that right? Salman Farsi had the Ism al A'zam, the greatest name of Allah, so with which you can do miracles and karamat. We don't call it miracle according to ilm al kalam, we call it karamat. And the difference between karamat and miracle, practically speaking, you may find a similar fawqul aada, beyond the usual practice of the people, an act done which is beyond the usual practice and routine of the masses. But mu'jiza is something khariqun aada, mutabiqun lidda'wa. It is in sync with the claim of the Nabi or the Wasi or the Imam. Whereas those who show karamat do not make any claims. So it is called karamat, not a mu'jiza. So remember the story when Prophet was holding some of the rocks, stones in his hand, and the stones are bearing witness about the Risalat of Rasulullah in his hand. Prophet gave the same stones into the hand of Imam Ali alayhi salam, who was present there, and the stones bear witness in the favor of Imam Ali alayhi salam, his walayat and imamah. And then Imam Ali gave the same rocks into the hands of Imam Hassan, and the rocks spoke in the same way. Then it was transferred into the hand of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and the stones spoke in the same way. And then we find Hazrat Umar was there, and he got the stones from Imam Hussein alayhi salam and put it in his hand, and it didn't speak. Stones were silent. And he said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, these stones speak in some of the hands, but it don't speak in some other hands. Prophet said, it only speaks in the hands of a prophet or a wasi of the Prophet. In other words, which I am paraphrasing in my own words. So basically, this behavior that we find everything is under their command, kuffar, mushrikeen of Makkah, challenging the Prophet, if you can challenge, if you can bring this street in front of us to walk towards you, we will accept you as the Rasul and, you know, the Prophet of God. And, you know, we find that the tree walks upon, as soon as the tree gets the hint from the Prophet, it walks towards the Prophet. So, but they still didn't believe. Isn't that right? So, they challenged to make the dead people alive. Prophet sent Imam Ali al-Salam to the graveyard. Umm Salama, salamullah alayha, said that I took the permission from Prophet to go out of the house along with Imam Ali al-Salam, so I can also see the mu'jiza. So Imam Ali al-Salam went there and he made a dead person alive in front of the mushrikeen of Makkah. And then the same sanadid of Quraysh, the same, you know, top-notch criminals of Quraysh, again requested Imam Ali al-Salam to send this mayyit, this dead person, back into the grave. And Imam Ali said, and he went back. Obviously, their intention was so that as long as this dead person stays out of and standing in the graveyard, and more people stop by, the passers-by stop by, they would realize the haqqaniyat and truthfulness of the Holy Prophet and his message. Isn't that right? So they didn't want the miracle to survive for long. But what I was saying is that all these various miracles taking place in front of the people shown, you can go to the book Madinatul Ma'ajiz. And this is the book which is written by Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sayyid Hashim al-Bahrani, one of our great scholars from Bahrain. The original natives are called Bahrani. Those who migrated to Bahrain later on are called Bahrainis. So Sayyid Hashim al-Bahrani, he was the original native of that island. He, one of the great muhaddithin of ours, he has this famous and masterpiece book that he has written, Madinatul Ma'ajiz, where he has collected almost all the miracles that he could find in the history from the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Single piece encyclopedia of all the miracles, where you can find so much. So these miracles are shown because of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are at the level of the Muntaha. They reach the destination, which is Kamalun Mutlaq, absolute and perfect Kamal, perfection, becoming Madhar and reflection of every name of Allah without exception. Hatta al-Musta'sar, hatta al-Ism al-Maknoon, how we say it, even the hidden name, the 73rd Ism al-A'zam, which they do not know, but they still reflect. So, third of all is the Masafa, the travel, the distance that we travel in the spiritual travel, just like in physical travel. So, distance, our Urafa say, the Masafat in the spiritual travel is the Maratib, the levels of the Kamalat. Kamalat of the Ruh, spiritual attributes of perfection, have stages that need to be crossed, one after the other, in a sequential order. You cannot skip. If you skip, you would be unsuccessful in the upcoming stage because you did not complete the previous stage. These are in a sequential order. You have to follow the tartib. Yes, there are some people who are very much working hard to disconnect themselves totally and quickly from every attachment of this dunya, which is the foundation of all the saints. Attachment of this towards this dunya. Isn't that right? I remember, like Imam Khomeini radhiyallahu anhu had said, that some of our basiji, the public voluntary force in Iran, public who, quwat al-ta'biya, how we call in Arabic, basijis, the public razakarana force. So this public voluntary force, which are very, you know, people who were in those days volunteered to defend Islam. So he was praising one of the basijis in his speeches, that some of our basiji soldiers were nice and so nice and pious and muttaqi people. They crossed the levels in maratib that our urafa traveled through long durations, they traveled in a matter of one night, overnightly. So it's true for some people who are ready to give talaq to this dunya straight away, because this jism is the biggest obstacle in the way of closeness to Allah. Closeness is through the ruh, and ruh has to totally disconnect and detach from any attachment of the jism, which is very hard because ruh is connected, contained inside the jism and the body, and that's why it keeps on getting inclined towards the desires and wishes and whims and attachments of the body and the physical body with the physical world outside, which it is not supposed to be getting attached, but that's the way most of the humans are getting attached. So everything, remember what my teacher has said, everything which is other than the soul, outer than the soul, is an obstacle. So including the body, everything which is other than the ruh is an obstacle in the way of getting close to Allah, including our own body. So we need to take care of our body as well in Islam, but as much as Allah has sanctioned. Anything more and that's an obstacle. So masafat and distance that we travel in the spiritual travel towards the destination which is already defined, Kamalul Mutlaq, absolute perfection, is the destination which we get from Allah by becoming mazhar and reflection of His attributes. In order to reach that destination, we need to, the distance that we travel in this trip is nothing but the maratib and levels and stages of those spiritual attributes. Spiritual attributes have stages to be crossed in a sequential order. So so this is how we travel those stages, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 153, Allah says, وَإِنَّ هَذَا سِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلْ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. So don't go, this is my path. So Allah's path is mustaqim and straight, the straight path of Allah. This is His path, in other words. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ, so follow it, and don't go towards other paths. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلْ, don't follow other paths, don't follow the paths, that means the rest of the paths. فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ, so you will be, led away, you will be distracted away from the path. If we go to any other path, we get distracted away, led away from the actual, real, straight, one path, which is only one single option in Islam. There is no other option other than the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Any other option, and that is hell. Because Sirat al-Mustaqim is thinner than the hair. Isn't it right? Any deviation, and we fell into the hellfire. We get burnt. Unless we do tawbah, so we come back. So basically, these maratib need to be tread in a gradual way, one after the other in a tartib, so that we achieve those, when we cross the initial stage, then we become eligible to understand and to follow the later stages. This is how the tarbiyat used to be done by the Prophet himself, gradually teaching the people, not just in one shot. It sometimes even backfires. If you teach the things in one shot to people, not everybody is on a level where he can comprehend. So people are people. They are people of various mind, status and levels. It backfires them. This mu'min, this Shia, came to Imam Ali and said, teach me some of the, knowledge from the ghaib. And Imam Ali, Imam Ali knew what kind of sathun zahni, his mental level. Imam Ali just started to say some, and he said, anal awwalu, anal akhir, I am the beginning, I am the end. And this person says, this Shia, he started to object on Imam Ali. What are you talking? You are the beginning. The beginning is Allah. Akhir is Allah. You are not the beginning. You are not the awwal. What are you talking about? Then Imam Ali did the ta'wil, for awwal and ta'wil for akhir. And he was starting to leave actually. The riwayat says this guy stood up in ikraz and objection to Imam Ali. He stood up and he started to leave. Imam Ali set to the door to not to let him go, in other words. And the door was shut. He tried to open it, didn't open. Then Imam Ali did the ta'wil to make him to explain before he leaves, so he doesn't leave confused. When the door couldn't open, he realized how Imam Ali is showing the miracle. Then he comes back and Imam Ali does the ta'wil, an explanation to him, and then he... That was a very simple explanation because of the guy, he was simple-minded. Basit. Isn't that right? If he was somebody like Salman, Imam Ali would have said so much if he wished. Isn't that right?
Just like Ibn Abbas was there with Imam Ali salam, and he was explaining Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim throughout the night. Throughout the night passed away and Imam Ali still did not finish the tafsir of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And then when the time came close to the Fajr, Imam Ali salam said that if I wish, I would have done the tafsir that would be the weight of 70 camels. That means so much tafsir could have been done by me if I wish. If you write down all that tafsir in papers and books, that kind of books and papers would be so huge in its bulk that you require 70 camels to carry the weight of those books with only the tafsir of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How much kilograms or pounds a camel can carry? 50 kilograms? 100 kilograms? Well, I can carry 100 kilograms, isn't that right? A camel can carry hundreds of kilograms. 70 camels. Can you imagine? It's just a Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But the point is that he didn't talk to so much of the Inna ha huna la ilman jamma. Right? Imam Ali said in one of the statements, here it's a huge bulk of knowledge, in other words. So he couldn't dispense his knowledge to those jahil people around him, except very few who were ahl of that knowledge. So now we still have 5 minutes to go. The manazil of the safar. Obviously, some people, like I was saying, the maratib, the levels are crossed gradually, and sometimes things click in the mind of the people all of a sudden. So we should always continue to do amr bil ma'roof, nahi anil munkar, bidding the good and forbidding the bad. Continue to advise the people as much as we can. You never know when something clicks in the mind. This, remember the story of Ibn Sakit. Ibn Sakit was a scholar, an alim, and he was a follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And this Khalifa of Abbasiyin, this Abbasi Khalifa, forced Ibn Sakit to teach his children the Quran. Isn't it right? Ibn Sakit didn't want. He was forced. Now, once when he came to the palace as a teacher, this Khalifa said that, do you consider Hassan and Hussein afdal and superior, or my sons superior than them? And he replied back that I consider the ghulam, the slave, the servant of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Qambar, to be superior than your children. Obviously, that was a very big remark. That's the price the love of Imam Ali alayhi salam has. So, kalimatu haqqin inda imamin ja'ir. This is afdal al-jihad.
The most important thing, brothers and sisters, is the love of Ahlul Bayt, that we need to maintain the real love of Ahlul Bayt at all occasions and never compromise on that walayat of Ahlul Bayt. So obviously, this Khalifa commanded his tongue should be cut off and this guy should be killed. And he was killed. Before getting killed, he said, when I was working in your palace and teaching your children, it was always bothering me. And I was so much worried what would be my aqibat, my end result before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me from your evil. So some people in the final moment do something which is so much beloved in the eyes of Allah. You never know when a person in the final moments or final days can do some great ibadat and service that Allah loves, and he becomes included in the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll discuss the manazil of the safar in the next Thursday. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. If you have any questions, we can take it for another 3 minutes.